Hello, welcome to our podcast. There is an argument in the studio.
There was a whole slew of 80s movies that had very little plot line.
You know what bothers me? He's such a movie snob. I can't just go to the movies with him and just say that was enjoyable. Really? Why'd you find it enjoyable? Because it was okay. It was a terrible movie. You didn't like it. I did like it, David. I liked it.
Well, Margaret, sometimes you find things that are enjoyable to you that I may not find enjoyable to me, and we can share those opinions separately. That's not a problem.
You're a movie snob.
So Stav is saying Flashdance.
It had no storyline.
Yeah, it was a crap movie.
Do you know another unpopular opinion of mine? Top Gun is an awful film. Awful.
I know. Who said that? Why is that unpopular?
Because it's a classic.
Yeah, but they're all 80s.
Mm.
Yeah, but one day Shrek's going to be a classic as well.
Shrek already is a classic.
What's your favourite movie?
Field of Dreams.
What happened in that?
He built a baseball field and then his dead dad came back and played catch with him.
Terrible really? Storyline.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Is that why he bought that big property in Barden?
Oh, no, he didn't. He's meaning that your dad's going to come back.
My dad wouldn't come back and play basketball, baseball with me.
There's no, but he's got drinks on the back deck. Hey, hey.
He's too busy up there with my dad. We've worked out they're friends now.
True. So. Yeah. What's your favourite movie?
I don't have one. Okay. I don't think. I'm not like, I watch movies to escape.
Yes, and I forget what happens. Yeah. I could watch a movie again and I wouldn't remember.
Yeah. So most of the time when I'm in a movie, I'm trying to be as numb as I can. Is kind of what I go for. And I don't actually quite often watch the entire movie. I go, my mind goes off into like little
the guy here with a pen and paper taking all notes is really...
Yeah.
25th Hour, still one of my favourite.
Yeah. Pretty Woman.
No, Hurley. 25th Hour, I'd have to say. I like the acting in it.
Hurley Burley.
Hurley Burley was good.
Orgasmo.
That's true.
That was a good movie back in the day. But you know when we went to the Lego movie on the weekend?
Yeah.
There was like halfway through it where I went, oh shit, I'm here with my 5-year-old and his friend. Where are they? And lucky they were still sitting there, but I just...
Zoned out.
I zoned out so far that I forgot that I was there with them.
My friend can't sit through a movie in a cinema. Without falling asleep.
I got a friend like that.
He's tried. Tried so much, but he says just the seating arrangements and the fact that it's so loud and dark, he can't stay awake for a whole movie. So why go still? And he goes, oh, my wife wants me to go.
Does she get real annoyed when he falls asleep?
No, but she goes, there is no point that you choosing the movie because you're not going to watch
true.
It.
That's
so
true.
We go to romantic comedies and you sit there and you snore.
Yeah.
She doesn't care.
Yeah.
But I always go, why? It's a waste of a ticket.
Yeah, I always thought that the movies are a weird place for a date as well because you just go and you sit in a room and you don't talk. Like, it's okay if you're married, but if it's, you know, if it's like the first few dates, I don't believe a movie is the right place to go. Oh,
but then there's that kind of that excitement of, can I put my hand here?
No, because then you really want to watch a movie and someone wants to make out.
That's what always happened to me, yep.
And I used to always just be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible. Shouldn't have
taken. It was a Mission Impossible, but I still gave it a crack.
So I always find dinner's the time to, you know, reach out.
Just after a mouthful. Like a bird.
All right, here we go. This is the podcast.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
Things you can say
would say in bed.
Monday, back to work. You have to be clean, don't you? You know? Get all the dirty thoughts out of your mind. And that's why we do this, to sort of cleanse yourself. We want to know, what can you say in the bedroom that makes perfect sense? And also today in a cafe.
Uh-huh. Jack and Jim Boomba, what can you say in the bedroom and at a cafe?
Honey, roll over and lettuce on top, please.
Oh,
I
Jack.
I like it. That's very inventive. That's,
yes.
Honey.
How many times did you practice that before we came to you?
Just the once.
Just the once, yeah.
Lettuce. Honey and lettuce sandwich. I'm going to give that a go. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, that was steamy.
Steamy. Steamy coffee. Oh, yeah.
Simo in Narangba, what can you say in the bedroom and at a cafe?
Geez, your eggs are prepared well.
I always want to know if you can say that in the bedroom. Because I have.
And I like my men like I like my coffee black and strong.
Yes.
You know what?
If someone said nice eggs in the bedroom, you'd go,
On a one night stand, you wouldn't be into that, would you?
Do you do that?
Nah.
Long term?
Nah.
If you were planning to have a baby. You know, you have lots of ovulation chat, so you could probably roll it out then, but...
Why don't you try it tonight?
It's still not a turn-on, is it?
No.
Vic, I like to use trial and error in the bedroom.
In all things.
Vic, in Woodford, what can you say? In the bedroom and at a cafe?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it, but it's the third one I've had today.
Good one. I like that one.
Often you get every sixth one free as well.
Yeah, yes.
Why do we have to pay for the other five?
Ross in Brassel, what can you say? Bedroom and cafe.
Do you want cream with that?
You want cream? Yeah. Good stuff, Ross. There we go. We'll play it again. Next year, welcome, mate. Next Monday.
Stab Abby and Matt on Hit 105. Can you make a hotline ring?
You can ask us anything. First calls. This is when the show is yours. Anything you want to talk about, you know our number, 131060. Call it.
Best caller gets a $100 Lorna Jane voucher. Feel the difference in Lorna Jane. Let us help you find your perfect fit in store today.
Emma from Cleveland, first time on air, so welcome. What do you want to talk about?
Hi, I'm just ringing up. The other day, we were at Woolworths doing our grocery shopping, and I've got three kids, and my five-year-old was walking, and there was an elderly couple, and they had, you know, they were doing their grocery shopping, and the man actually ran over the heel of my five-year-old. And he was like, my five-year-old was pretty distraught, you know, crying and stuff. And my partner went over to the man and just said, do you mind apologizing to my son because he's, you know, you've actually run over his heel. And he refused to apologize. And we're just trying to, like, and as my partner said to him, we're trying to instill, like, manners in our children. Like, if they cut in front of someone, we make them apologize. No matter of the age or, you know, if it's a kid, we still make them apologize. But he just flat out refused to apologize. To my five-year-old. So we sat outside. Yeah, he's just wouldn't apologize, and his wife said, no, he wouldn't do such a thing.
So no one was suggesting he did it on purpose.
No, but he was denying that he even did it. Yeah, right.
Maybe he was scared you were going to take his license off him or something.
Oh, maybe they've said, hey, always say no in case anyone sues you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
That's a bit rude. Sorry about that, Emma.
We've got a really grumpy old guy across the road from us who I've gotten to altercations with.
Yeah, so do they.
Were they always grumpy and then they got old, or did they become grumpy when they became old? I've always wanted
this
to know.
This is the conversation Esther and I have.
Yeah.
Like,
have you asked him?
No, well, he won't talk to me at all, but whenever I see him, now I'm really friendly and wave. I'm actually considering taking him over a gift to know him.
A bottle of port.
Is that what old people drink?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, right.
Caro from Mount Omni, what do you want to talk about in first calls?
Hi, guys. I'm a first-time caller as well. Love your show.
Oh, thanks, Caro.
Yay! So I just wanted to add to your maths segment that you were talking about in relation to the registration of the relationship expert well. So under the national law, they actually do, if they're registered as a health practitioner or a psychologist, they will need to abide by the national law regardless of whether or not they are, I guess, registered
whilst on the
what
TV.
Am I trying to say? but
Karen, I always want to know, so if they are registered, and let's take for a different instance, someone comes up to them at the shops and says, I'm having these difficulties and I'm going through these thoughts, do they have a right to be, do they have to help them out?
No, you don't have to help them out. No, you you basically are bound, though, by the codes of conduct of your profession. So if they're not abiding by the code of conduct, even if it's in their personal life, or if they're, you're not supposed to treat your family members, if you're working in another role but still retaining your registration, you still have to abide by those codes and
so they might be deregistered.
Yeah, there's a chance.
Maybe I think the other ones that complain about it just want their spot.
Yeah, true.
So they go, you can't do it. And then they go, there's an opening.
Bad for business, though. It's not a good plug. No. Daniel's on the air from Bean Lee. Hi, what do you want to chat about in first calls?
Hey, how's it going? On Friday, you guys were bringing up the approach by reality TV producers.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Apparently, they're asking people to go on The Voice now. Yep.
Correct. Yeah, I've actually been approached myself a few times.
Oh, who by?
Yes. So years and years ago, I applied for Big Brother, didn't get through.
Right.
After that, I had a few producers start following me on Instagram.
Right.
And Married at First Sight and Gogglebox.
Oh, because that would mean that you registered with a casting agent. They follow you, so anything that comes up, they'll...
Think of you.
Not so much the casting agent thing. They kept trying to push for a casting agent. But, right. Yeah, I started following their shows on Instagram and then...
My sister actually sent me a text saying that they're looking for Brisbane people to do Gogglebox. She wants me and her to...
Well, they've just hired them now.
Oh, crap. There you go. Sorry. That was a good dream.
Yeah, we got put through a week ago. They called us and said, you know, we want a family from Brisbane.
Yeah. So are you going to do it?
We're thinking about it.
Oh.
So have you been offered the job or you just need to go and sort of
We've been kind of given the all clear, just got to get the people to agree. That I used to live with.
Right.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's the dynamic they're looking for because we're an American, a Brit, and an Aussie.
Oh, God, if you go to a bar, it's already a joke.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's a flatmate, you and a flatmate, who they want to do it with.
Yeah, two of my old flatmates.
And did you audition by watching TV and doing the commentary, as you would see?
No, not at all.
Huh?
Oh. No, they just followed my Instagram and that was it.
Oh. Right.
Do you do videos of you commentating TV on your Instagram? It just seems strange that they would, if they've never spoken to you, they're just going by what you look like.
Yeah, well, I think there's a few things we've put up on Instagram in the past that they're kind of interested in the dynamic of me and my housemates.
Oh, so. And we're being told by our producers here you're an ex-model, so you're sexy.
Daniel, what's your Instagram? Come on. What's your Instagram?
It's, I can't remember what it is anymore. I change all the time. Okay. It's I am Denny S, but there's a couple of underscores in there. I follow you guys, actually, so...
Okay.
I found you. Oh, you got 32,000 followers.
Nice work.
Yeah. Perfect. You're pretty good looking. That's probably why.
All right. Jealous, mate.
I'm not jealous.
I'd be pretty jealous getting paid to watch TV. Yeah.
Well, they, you know, having his sister apply, they didn't get a call back.
No, we didn't apply. We just talked
about
it.
Oh, you're those sort of people. Yeah. Yeah. They want me. They'll come and find me on Instagram.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
It has been an insane weekend in the news.
This is one of New Zealand's darkest days.
New Zealand now on high alert after the worst terror attack in that nation's history. 49 innocent people killed as a gunman opens fire on two mosques.
I could hear screaming and crying.
I'm 66. Never thought in my life I'd love to see something like this. Not in New Zealand.
Clearly what has happened here is an extraordinary and unprecedented act of violence.
We grieve. We are shocked. We're appalled, we're outraged, and we stand here and condemn the attack that occurred that has claimed so many New Zealanders.
Many of those who will have been directly affected by this shooting may be migrants to New Zealand. They may even be refugees here. They have chosen to make New Zealand their home, and it is their home. They are us.
From Australia. To our Kiwi brothers and sisters, we stand together as one.
Yeah, when the news came through that had happened, and now the death toll's risen to 50. I honestly didn't believe it when the news stories came through. You're like, New Zealand is such a beautiful and peaceful place.
Yeah.
And then to find out the guys from New South Wales as well, I was just deeply ashamed. You just go, what sort of happens in someone's life that you have that much hatred in your heart? That you can do something like that. And, of course, we know now that it is a terrorist attack.
Uh-huh.
But I honestly just go, so many people are trying to find answers, and I honestly don't think there is. I just think there is people that are pure evil.
Yeah.
And something's happened in their life. I know that no one's born to be evil.
It's one of those things, too. What they've essentially done is mowed down innocent people in a moment of prayer, which to them as well, no matter what your faith is, a mosque or a church or a temple or anywhere, is that one place of peace. Mm. And that's where you go to, I guess, manifest or break down the issues of your life and take a moment. And they've just come into their most private and special place and done something like that. And what it has done, and this is what is really hard about the situation, is it's divided the rest of the world, and especially here in Australia with idiotic politicians, where we're giving so much oxygen to this evil at the same time.
Yeah, because I think when something like that happens, you go, oh, gosh, I don't think it matters what religion, what race, what anything. You just go, this is awful. There are innocent people that have been killed. And then to find out that there's some people among us that actually make comments that are hurtful and I would say are complete and utter hate speech talking about the senator, and I think things have to change and he needs to be kicked out. Mm. But it just, it does, it divides it and it does make it a racial thing rather than, no, this is something about an evil man. Yeah. That's what it is to do.
Using it for any sort of your own agenda is wrong as well. It's not the time or place. And difference of these things as well these days that he actually live streamed it on Facebook, which is absolutely horrific. And I would say to everyone, just stay away from
Facebook
that video.
Facebook released a message on Twitter saying that they had to take down 1.5 million videos.
From people sharing it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. Why would you do that? Why would you share that? God.
Yeah.
I didn't... It thankfully, never came across my feet.
No, it didn't come across mine.
The only positives you can take out of something like this, though, is there's a mosque probably two blocks from my house in Oxley. And on the, you could see at the front, lots of people had laid out flowers and things like that. And I saw on a few of the community pages there were people of that community, from that church community, who were actually writing messages to people saying, we appreciate it, thank you so much, you know, it means a lot. And I think that's the biggest thing you could actually do now, is that it's actually speak to people, you know, like, don't let this become a divide
of
between
the Muslim
people.
Faith. Yeah. To find out more, yeah.
Well,
didn't you say there's an open day there that's having it?
Well, they're looking at doing it. So when I was reading through the thread last night, there was one guy in particular who I won't try to pronounce his name because I'll get it completely wrong. But he was saying he is a member of the church and he's going to discuss having an open day because people were asking, are we allowed to come to the front door to drop them off? And he was saying, yeah, everyone is welcome. And if they have that, I'm going to go along.
Yeah.
Just, you know, they go in and just be accepting of everybody.
I visited a mosque a few years back and it was one of the most welcoming and peaceful places I'd ever been. It was lovely. Yeah. Everyone was a delight.
Yeah, but I don't know why people think it's any different.
No, I know. It's just because people are ignorant.
Or people don't know.
Yeah.
Like, in honesty, when I read it, I went, actually, if you're not a member of the church, can you go into the mosque?
And there's also images that people see that they think that, you know, the fighting that happens overseas or of Muslim cultures, and that's what it is. And you're like, are you serious? That's such a...
Yeah.
at your church, if you go on a Sunday, everyone can just pop along, right?
Oh, yeah. Donation plate goes around. They're not going to turn people away.
Make
no
mistake. There'd be a donation plate at a mosque as well. That's how religion runs. Yeah, but you, I mean, when you went along, did you know whether you could just go
on? No, and to the point, and it was really enlightening and really interesting because we went for the radio show to have a chat and we didn't take our female producer because we didn't know if that was allowed. And of course it was.
Yeah.
Let's be overcautious here.
Of course. And we said that to the dude. He's like, of course you can come for God's sake.
But it's good that you learnt that.
Yes, of course.
You know?
Yeah.
Do not share that video if you come across it on Facebook.
No, they've taken him down, yeah.
And we'll keep you across it in the news this morning. It's
Stav, Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
This is Conrad Shaw.
Always a pleasure to have this guy, not just on the show, but in the studio with us, Conrad Sewell. Good morning,
guys. Always a pleasure to be here as well. My favourites in Brisbane.
Sorry,
can you say that again? I didn't hear
My favourites in Brisbane. Never gets played ever again on a conversation.
I'm loving your
new
single.
Guys, you are very good at your job there. I like it.
Can I ask that, you know, you hear the artists on the air saying, you know, like, hey, it's Conrad Sewell, and when I'm in Brisbane, I choose Hit 105.
And then the next line is, when I'm in Sydney.
Yeah. So we get you to read a lot of those off the script and stuff.
Yeah. I actually have a voice I do when I do it. You know?
Do like, you have your radio voice?
If you've done enough of them, you have it, and you just punch them out.
Yeah.
And then you realise you sound like an infomercial.
Yeah.
And you stop. And you're like, wait, cool artist, be cool artist.
Every radio station gets you to say the same thing, though, don't we?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It comes with territory, you know, but kind of mix it up, put a little personality in it.
It's actually bribery, though. We're like, we'll play your single.
Yes.
And you say
as long
things.
As you introduce it and wish everyone Merry Christmas. And
but wait, you guys do it too. Rock stars are famous for getting up on stage going, you rock like no other audience I've ever had before.
Yeah.
Tokyo.
Very true.
Love Me Anyway, I love that song. And I've always said to you, as such a compliment, because he's a musical genius, you sound similar to Michael Jackson.
Mm.
And I know that you're a huge fan.
Yeah.
How are you coping with all... What's going on?
I mean, you know, obviously it's a very sensitive subject and it's weird. Like, I, you know, we had a throwback thing at another radio station and, you know, I couldn't play the song or whatever. Like, yeah, that would be one of my picks, but you can't, people taking it off radio and it's, yeah, it's a pretty big, yeah, thing. I obviously, I have my own thoughts on it and stuff, yeah, like that. And I'm, I mean, I just love his music and I think it's sad that this is kind of affecting that.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. And I don't know, I have no idea what happened, obviously, and there's, you know, there's two sides to every story, but it is, it's just sad, really. That,
yeah, it is.
Puts a dullness on something that was so beautiful in music. You know, like, his songs to me were so beautiful and, like, the shaped my musical taste and stuff like that. So,
and that shouldn't change.
You know, I'm not going to not stop listening to him, put it that way. But, but
well,
yeah,
we asked our listeners, and 90% of our listeners
99% said they still want to hear his music.
Yeah. Well, that's an, I'm glad you guys did that little poll.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Then play away. And in the meantime, we have Conrad Sewell, who's not really like it.
We don't need him anymore. We don't need Michael anymore.
Never do anything wrong
in
with
fact,
your life.
In fact, no,
okay?
We shouldn't play him anymore.
Now, you, so do you live in LA?
I do live in, I'm still living in LA. Yeah, just for me, like, I write a lot of songs there and stuff like that, and I'm still, you know, I'm really trying to break that market, and it's just a long, it's a long process, you know what I mean? So it's a lot of touring there, and, and that's still the dream for me, you know what I mean, to be everywhere all over the world. But I'm coming back a lot now. So, like, I really, you know, I miss it a lot more. And, like, you know, I'm 30. I'm, you know, I'm looking for a nice, you know, I've got a nice brizzy girl that I've been hanging out with. And so it's nice to come back and start to miss home a little bit. So I need to buy a place here, have my place in LA, and I can just bounce back and forth.
Because I think there is a danger, too. If you go over to LA and then you focus on LA, and then maybe it doesn't happen, or, and then you have to come back here. You've been away so long that people don't remember you here. You've got to keep them both alive.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, like, this has always been, Australia has always been a very important market for me. And as soon as I first put music out, I said to the label, I was like, anything I need to do here, make sure I'm present in market so we keep it, like, we keep people knowing who I am and keep people listening to my music because, you know, if it doesn't work out, I'm going to be here a lot. I'm going to be on the panel and hear what I find.
Yeah. Always welcome.
I'm taking Stav's job.
Wait, hey, whoa, that's good.
I'm scared to ask because if she's a Brisbane girl, she'll be able to hear it. But is the latest single about her?
No, it's not actually. This is a pretty fresh relationship. But the latest single is just about, like, unconditional love. Like, it was about, there's so many people in my life that sort of have been there for me in the last couple of years when I was going through my darker days.
Yeah.
And it was just about that. You know what I mean? It's not about someone specifically.
Have you written a song about the new girlfriend yet?
No, actually, I started writing one when I was trying to convince her to she wasn't having a bar with me for a minute. So I was sort of, I was starting to get a bit of inspiration.
How about it, darling? Come on.
Maybe leave it
to
Conrad.
How about it, darling? Come on.
Wow.
Man, you got swag, bro. You got swag.
Maddie. Did you sing it to her?
It's pretty pathetic, but I actually did a little bit.
Over the phone?
No, I was just like, well, I don't know, I think we were just like having a late night. I was trying to explain. Yeah. I was trying to convince her. So whatever you can do.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Anyway, let's not get into that. But,
no, let's. I don't write songs. Did it work? It worked then, obviously.
I mean, yeah, obviously. It worked
like
a little
night?
Bit. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
all right.
How many guys can say you wrote a song? It worked that night three times.
Oh, no, too
Abby
much. Come on.
Abby
I don't like any details.
About her.
No, I just think I always feel quite awkward. I had a song written for me and I didn't know where to look. You know?
It's definitely awkward. I mean, people be like, oh, do you ever sing to a girl? I've never sung to a girl in my life, like, in that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, well, maybe I did when I was in high school.
You'd still take it though if she goes, I just slept with you so you'd stop singing.
That would be, having your little sample, that would be how it worked in your case.
Absolutely. Well, buddy, you can pre-order your debut album, Life, now.
Yes.
And for tickets to see you at Eaton's Hill on May 31, moshtix.com.au.
Yes.
Hang there. When we come back, we're going to play a round of Plead the Fifth.
Ooh.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. Stick around. Conrad Sewell, he's on the air with us here at Hit 105.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
President Trump's obsession with the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
I plead the Fifth.
Yeah, Conrad Sewell, he's still here. We're playing a round of Plead the Fifth right now. This legal term is probably more known in Australia for being, it's an American one, but more Australians probably know it than our own legal terms.
Yeah.
It's the one where you can plead not to say anything
I'm not
going to
lie, I did not know what it was at first.
Didn't you?
Someone had to tell me on the way into this room.
I don't think I knew
I'm
either,
the smartest
to be
cookie in the shed.
Play the Fifth, because it is such an American term.
Yeah. You don't have to answer on the grounds of the Fifth Amendment.
Okay, so I don't have to answer
Why does anyone
one of these questions. right?
That it's the same way in court. You only get 10 questions. You're only allowed to plead the fifth on two of them.
And you just hope you pick the right one because the next one could be worse.
Oh, I'm out of
Alrighty,
right,
so
let's hope I pick the right one then.
Yeah.
We've got a heap of questions here. You must answer. If you plead the fifth twice, then you're all out and you've got to go for it. All right?
You think you're nervous? You should
I'm
see your
music
honest. Rep
I'm
out
gonna,
the back.
What if I just answer them all?
He's shaking.
All righty.
Oh, man.
All right. So,
it's
first question.
Not a good game to be playing with me.
Who was the last celebrity you texted?
Either Lindsay Lohan or Craig David.
Why are you texting Lindsay Lohan?
I was saying, we're old friends, and she's got a new show on MTV or something like that.
Yeah, she runs a nightclub.
I was just congratulating on her on it. Got to keep that one close, you know?
She's got a nightclub.
You never know
well.
When she's going to pop back up.
Yeah.
Trap 2, maybe?
All right.
That was a good movie.
How, did she text,
great movie.
Did she text back?
Oh, yeah.
What did you get as the text back?
You phone, who this?
Yeah. She'd be an emoji girl. Right?
She's an interesting one.
Okay.
Hi, stranger, how are you?
Right.
And you didn't write back?
I'm good, doll. Just put out a new single. Announced the album today. Exciting times. Keep seeing you on the TV. Uh-oh, where are you? Congratulations.
Yeah, right. There you go. Oh.
And now Craig David. No.
All right. How much money is in your bank account?
Wouldn't know. I'd have to call my Jewish business manager and ask him.
What's his phone number?
They keep these things away from me.
Let's ring him now.
Almost, is that like an Ed Sheeran thing? Where he
no, generally just could not tell you. That's how bad it is. I didn't even have a password to my bank account. I have to call someone to find out how much money's in it.
Wow.
How good's that, getting out of that question that way?
That's really good.
Yeah, but imagine how much money you could have if all these people didn't have the power to rip you off.
Exactly,
that's a lot of trust.
Nah, well, I'm a trustful person, you know?
Ed Sheeran used to always do that. He used to get an allowance.
Yeah.
And the allowance was really small.
Oh, yeah.
You know
like,
what he used
my,
to spend
I get
it in?
Thingy, like, I know how much of that, but like, I couldn't tell you an exact number what was in the master account. Right. I'm hoping it's quite big, but find out at the end of the month, I guess.
It's like his super. Have you ever cheated on somebody?
Yes. Cool. Unfortunately, yes. But I've changed my ways.
Mm. But it made good music?
It made good music. And I think you do it you know, when you're young and, you know.
We're going to get a 10 for you. We're going to get a 10 for 10.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm a very honest person, you know. Nothing to lie about.
Have you ever blocked anyone on social media? That's the one.
Lindsay Lohan and Craig David.
No, just Lindsay Lohan. No, I don't think so, no. No, I haven't.
Okay.
How did you meet Lindsay Lohan?
She came to a show in London and we had a bit of a wild night out. You know, things happened. It was a good time.
Did you hook up with Lindsay Lohan?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
But we're just friends
now. Look at Maddie,
How do you kind of hook up with someone?
That's the only way I do it.
When it's that big of a night, you don't really know what happens.
Oh, so you drank a lot, and then you had the thing of in the morning. Did we?
I'm not sure
what happened. Did we not?
Yeah, it was just a wild night, and she's a lot of fun. But
yeah.
Okay. But she's just a good person as well. She's always checking in.
Well, after
anyway, let's not make about her. No. Next question.
after that tidbit.
Love me anyway. Out now. Have you got your tickets to Ian's Hill?
I reckon this one's going to be the one that stumps you. What TV show is your guilty pleasure?
Probably Dawson's Creek back in the day.
Oh, my God.
And the OC. I was a massive OC fan.
I was a huge Dawson's Creek fan.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's not guilty.
Maddie's going to go back to Lindsay Lohan.
The final one. What does Lindsay Lohan look like naked?
You haven't let go of that, have you?
Everybody knows
that's why
the
I
should have
mentioned it.
Yeah. Do you want one more?
Maybe fifth.
There we go. Got him. Conrad Sewell, you're playing a show, Eaton's Hill, May 31, moshtix.com.au. Pre-order your debut album, Life Now, as well. Nice to see you, buddy.
Thank you, guys. This chair's crazy as well.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to get a new one. We say that every time.
Thank you very much.
Stab Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
This is one of New Zealand's darkest days. It is clear that this can now only be described as a terrorist attack.
Still a lot of people trying to compute this or work out how to explain it to their children.
I haven't yet. I've been scared about what's been on the news, and I know that they're probably going to school and other people are going to bring it up, but I just can't explain that there is someone who took the lives of innocent people when they were praying.
That is what I think is the most disgusting of it. They went to a place of peace for someone in their faith and just wanted to cause devastation.
Mm.
And it turned out to be an Australian man from Grafton, alleged gunman. And we were talking about it this morning, and it's one of those things when someone comes in to a building or into a room, you always did drills as kids for lockdown and stuff in schools.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember that. Yeah. I actually remember when it became a thing in school. It had never been done before, and then they introduced it.
I think they are doing it at schools, and everyone feels different about it. I get saddened by it, and I know that I like to live in denial that things like this are changing, and I don't like it when people say, you know, this is where we live in now.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be prepared for it. I always get a bit like,
well, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a conversation now with a man whose name is Scott Stewart. He's from the US. He's a former special agent for the US Department and has conducted hundreds of terrorism investigations right around the world. We're going to speak to him about what are the things that you're meant to do if you find yourself, and we hope that no one does,
no,
in a situation like this. Good morning, Scott.
Well, good morning. How are you?
We're good. Now, obviously, these people could have had no idea that this was going to occur to them. But if you do find yourself in the middle of this, are there some tactics and things that you can do to make yourself safer?
Well, sure. But I think the first thing to understand, is, you know, the world is just a dangerous place, and that there really is no place that's absolutely safe from this kind of senseless violence, you know, this evil. And even if you think that it's a relatively safe place or a quiet place, you know, whether it's a house of worship, whether it's a school, whether it's a shopping mall, a restaurant, you know, this kind of violence, we've seen it all over the world, everywhere from, you know, a Jewish synagogue in Pittsburgh, you know, to mosques in Egypt and now in places like New Zealand.
The
first thing is understanding that there is that danger out there, and that you need to take control, or you need to take responsibility for your own security, because you can't rely on you know, somebody else to do it for you, unfortunately.
I think for us, Scott, it has been really hard to see, because we don't have this is not the norm in Australia and nor New Zealand. So for me to get my head around it, I always go, I don't even know why we'd be able to purchase an assault rifle in New Zealand.
Well, it's, you know, we've seen several, you know, cases there in Australia, even with knife attacks and vehicle assaults. And even, you know, we had the attack in Sydney a couple of years at the chocolate shop with the armed individual. So, you know, this stuff happens, and it's not just one ideology. That's what's so terrible. So it's not just the jihadis we have to worry about. But, you know, you have these white supremacists, you know, you have Marxist terrorists, you have anarchist terrorists. There are just a lot of people out there who want to kill people, and it's, you know, it's just a terrible thing.
I think, and this, a lot of people are going to say this sounds very hippie. I'm going to say your biggest weapon should be love. I'm just going to put it out there. Be kind to people, and hopefully do your best to eliminate this sort of thing. But what would be, say, your top three things that people can do in situations?
Yeah, you know, we have a maxim that we try to teach people at Stratfor, and that's basically avoid, deny, defend. Those are the three things, ADD, avoid, deny, defend. So avoid is, you know, you try to get out of the area where the attacker is, you know, because, and especially if you're moving, you become a much harder target than you are if you just stand there. And unfortunately, many of the people in the mosque shooting that we saw in the video that the murderer recorded just stood there and allowed themselves to be shot. You know, they were in shock. They couldn't believe it was happening, and they just froze. So you have to understand that you have to move. You have to get out of there. And the more that you know, the more distance you put between yourself and the shooter, the better. And also, the more that you move, especially at an angle, you know, a right angle, and he would have to move to track you, the more difficult you are to hit.
Right.
So definitely you want to avoid him and get out of that area.
And then what's the deny?
Excuse me?
What's the deny?
Deny is basically if you can't get out of that area, lock yourself in someplace. And we've seen that happen in a lot of attacks. So, for example, in the attack in Pittsburgh at the synagogue, they were able to lock themselves into a classroom, a whole bunch of people, and lock the door, and the attacker was not able to get in. Even in a lot of the hotel attacks we've seen overseas, like Ouagadougou, the Mumbai attacks, People have been able to lock themselves in their hotel rooms, stay quiet, stay away from the door, barricade the door. And these gunmen, when they come in, they don't have tools to open doors usually. Mm-hmm. So if you can get a good solid door, a good lock, you know, put good heavy items in front of the door, and you can deny them access to where you're at, it's a very, very good thing.
And then defend.
That means, obviously, defend yourself, defend others with any means you have. You know, fight back. And, you know, we saw a good example of that at the London Bridge attack a couple years ago, where the occupants in a pub just started pelting the knife attacker with pint glasses and bottles and, you know, everything they could throw, stools. And they were able to actually chase the attacker out of the pub by going after him with those items.
Well, Scott Stewart, thanks for calling through this morning. Stratford Threat Lens is the name of your company. And I think the biggest thing we can take out of what's happened in New Zealand is just kindness as well.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
Abby's greatest shave. I am my hair.
Thank you.
Yeah, it all went down Friday. Literally, your hair fell from your head onto the floor of the Queen Street Mall. Yep. It's had filthier things on it that fall, but
I thought you meant my head. Hair. No. Yeah, no, I made a commitment. I promised Bridget, who I met many years ago, who fought leukemia twice, and she was amazing, and I just thought, you know, if she could go through all that, I'm going to do something back.
She was quite evil on the day, though, wasn't she?
Oh, she is. She's a... When she was going through cancer, someone gave her a joke book very early on in the hospital, and I think that's really helped her get through, was all these jokes, but she's a funny little girl. She was so excited. She kept saying, like, come on, we've got to shave it.
Yeah, giving her the evil eye.
So we did.
I forgot to let her know that I run our show very late.
Yeah.
So how did you go over the weekend, though? Because this is your third day as a shavey now.
I was really panicked about going home and my boys seeing, because for them, they're always like, Mummy, you're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I thought they're going to really be shocked by it. No.
Did they even notice?
Well, they noticed. They're like your hair. I was like, thank you. My youngest didn't like it because we didn't have matching. He was very excited that we're going to have matching hair.
Oh, so he thought you were going to have it like a little
a
short
bit,
back and sides,
yeah,
like him.
Like him,
okay.
And he wanted it to be matching, so he's a little bit disappointed, but he loved the logo on the back. So the Firebirds paid a few grand to have their logo. So
it looks like a Pokemon bird, if I'm honest. Like, that's probably why he was into it. When I saw it, I was like, that looks like a Pokemon.
You've got the Fleck, you've got a phoenix rising from the back of your head.
I know.
Yeah.
But they've been so beautiful, because I was like, they always call mummies a princess. I was scared that they weren't going to do that, but they're like, no, you're still a princess.
Rapunzel
on
still
the inside.
A princess after she got her hair cut off.
But that's what they think, yeah.
Your boys said to you, beauties on the inside, and you vomited
and
at them.
Bah.
Of course you did.
Bah.
I love it. Yes. They're right.
You said you really enjoyed the shower when the water hit your head.
I went home and washed my hair.
Yeah.
Washed your skull.
Why did you wash it? You don't have to.
I don't know. Little bits and pieces. You know how we shave, you got all those...
Little bits of hair, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I washed it out, and I got out of the shower. My hair was dry.
And done.
2 seconds later, I don't have to worry about going, I'll go for a swim, I've got to get my hair done.
First time you go to an event, you're going to be half an hour early.
All right, you stick by that.
You'll find another reason to be late.
It was going
then.
To the supermarket, because my hair's quite short, and I did have a bit of a bandana on, and a lot of elderly people think that you are sick and do look at you a different way.
Oh, they make the assumption.
Yeah, and mine's so different, because I've done it, you know, of my own accord.
Yeah.
I think about people that lose their hair and they're just trying to get on with their life while going through chemo.
Yeah.
And it must be so hard, because people will be extra nice to them or stare at them.
You suit it. A lot of people have gone, God, she's pulled it off, hasn't she?
I didn't do it for a hairstyle. I did it to raise money.
Yes, but
this could be the new you, though.
Ah.
Short hair. I feel a little bit like badass.
Yeah. Like, you got road rage and stuff now?
No, you know,
get
I don't
Harley
get that.
Davidson.
No, like, I feel like I've got to work out, because I'm like G.I. Jane or something.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I've just checked the tally of where it's at the moment. Look, it's amazing, but it's that annoying. It's the annoying number, too.
Yeah.
$69,663.79.
So close.
We're only chasing 50 was the target, and you smashed it. You absolutely... smash.
So if anyone's been meaning to donate, you still can. And I'd just encourage you to do that because we really want to get up to 70 because that number's a bit annoying.
I would say even if you could, if we can just get to 70 and stop. Cause
yeah.
Then
it'd be... it'll be like a petrol station where you're like, damn
oh,
it,
just a bit over. Oh, you want that perfect pour.
So good on you. It's amazing what you did. And it was a big thing for you to make this decision to do it because you not only is it like you get shaved, but everyone is bringing it up with you.
It was a bit scary to do it in front of everyone because you could see ladies' faces go, oh, no, what are you doing? The weirdest part is how dark I am.
Yeah, underneath.
Yeah, it was a bit.
You should dye your roots blonde now, really, to mess with people. Go the opposite way.
Thank you to everyone that donated. It was unbelievable.
Stab Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
Tomorrow we're playing Alpha Bucks, 19th of March. 10 grand on the line when we play Alpha Bucks at 8 a.m. This is your letter.
F for Freddie.
Get your kids ready for swimming at aquaticachievers.com.au.
Staff, Abby and Matt's $10,000 Alpha Bucks.
Alpha Bucks. Alpha
Bucks. Yeah, the home of cash. That's us here at Hit 105. Alpha Bucks is on the air straight after the 8 o'clock news every morning. If you get all 10 questions right, you get $10,000. Let's play.
All right, playing this morning is Sarah out in Redland Bay. Morning, Sarah.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are good. You're even better, though, because it's your first time on our little show, and you could win $10,000.
Exciting.
Now, you know how this works. You're going to get a letter from Abby. Every letter, every answer has to start with that letter. You get them all right, you get $10,000. You get $50 per one you get right too. So say pass if you don't know to give yourself as much time as possible, okay?
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
All right, Sarah, your letter this morning is K for kite.
Okay.
Here we go. Name a type of bird.
Koala. Kookaburra.
Name a fashion brand.
Kookaburra.
Name a superfood.
Kale.
Name a kitchen utensil.
Pass.
Name something royal.
King.
Name a popular retail shop.
Okay.
Name a popular tourist destination in Australia.
King Fraser Island.
Name a famous family.
Kardashians.
Name something you can easily forget.
Definitely won't forget the cookie store. You're all over that.
I know, right?
It did work. Well done.
$350.
Awesome. That's so great. Thanks, guys.
No worries. You pass on a couple. You're going to kick yourself. It's a tricky one. Name a kitchen utensil. You could have had knife.
Yeah. I know. I thought of it. Just after I said pass.
But that's the only way you pass. Well done.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
New segment idea for the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say beforehand that my friend asked me to bring this to our show.
Oh, okay. So what he's saying right now is don't complain. We know there's some people out there that might be offended, but you got no reason to because Maddie is doing it on behalf of the person that is supposed to be offended and they're not offended. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Thank you very much. But that happens to a lot with us. People come up to us and they go, you should do this. Do this on your show. They're generally under the influence of alcohol at the time.
Yeah.
And they may regret it the next day and said no.
Was this friend under the influence?
They were starting to.
Okay.
But I reckon they if they blew in a bag, they would have been okay.
Okay.
Well, they weren't so drunk that they would regret this.
All right. I'll start penning my letter of complaint. So keep going.
My friend who has a lazy eye asked me to do a public service announcement.
Right.
And I think this is something that people don't know what to do. If you have a friend with a lazy eye or meet someone with a lazy eye, because you don't want to offend them or you don't want to make them feel insecure about it, you overcompensate on trying to not notice it.
Yeah.
I went out with a guy that had a glass eye.
Pop up in conversation?
No, he didn't pop it out. No, he lost one as a child.
Yeah.
So had one, but it would go the opposite way.
Yeah.
And this person, my friend, said to me, I want you to tell people where they should look when they're having a conversation. Because the thing to do when you're having a conversation with someone is you make eye contact.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that shows that you're interested and strangely, that's how you get a great connection. If someone's not looking in your eyes when you're speaking to them, they're generally bored and they want to get away from you.
Can I guess?
You may guess because I did say to him, I go, I often will look at the lazy eye so that it doesn't
but
seem.
Sorry, can I just go back? Wouldn't it be any, it's not any different than someone who doesn't have a lazy eye? You look at both eyes.
But you sort of drag because one eye's not looking at you.
So you kind of, you dart between the two. Yeah. So you don't want it to make it look like you're wondering in your mind, where should I look while I'm speaking?
But someone told me a trick for if you feel uncomfortable looking at someone in the eyes anyway, regardless of whether they're lazy or not. I'm going to see if it's the same for that. Do you look at their eyebrows?
Pretty, yeah, but you're pretty close.
Right.
So it's in between the bridge of the nose.
Bang, right between their eyebrows.
Oh.
So, because they said you can't tell.
Yeah.
So if you look at me.
Yeah, I'm looking at the.
Look at that no man's land in between that.
I think you're staring at me a little bit too much, and I'd put you into the creep feel, just so you're aware.
Look at me.
See, my friend said to me that I apparently look at people's mouths when they talk.
I do that too.
And she's like, it's a bit creepy. I said, what do you mean? I said, because if people wear glasses, like sunglasses, I get really, like, because I can't see their eyes, so I look at their mouth.
Right, well, look at their eyebrows.
And you know when that's an issue?
When?
Because I'm a mouth looker as well.
Okay.
If they have, like, a dark tooth or something, and then you can tell that they start to get self-conscious, they cover their mouth a bit, but it's I'm not staring at your dark tooth. It's just I am sometimes a mouth looker as well.
So lazy eye, middle of the eyebrows.
Right between the eyebrows.
Right between the eyebrows, and you'll avoid any awkwardness.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's, there you go, to my friend, who I will not name. I have done what you asked. But then we wanted to extend this.
Yeah.
131060, because it's like our segment, Do You Mind If I Ask? This is one of those things where you can't go up to someone and say, what should I actually do in this instance?
Yeah.
So 131060, is there something about you want to tell people what they should do?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is that, we were discussing this earlier.
We got a photo recently with a lovely girl that comes and supports us, and she's in a wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
And when we went and got a photo with her, we all squatted down. And I was like, is that quite rude?
Yeah.
But I mean, if we were going to stand up and not be in the photo, and I don't know if it offends people. I don't know what is the right thing to say or to do.
What did she say?
We didn't ask.
Oh, you didn't ask.
You were in the photo as well. We all squatted down.
Oh, I can't remember that.
Oh.
I've got memory loss at the moment, though, but as you know.
Okay.
But, what are you? Do you squat down? Do you?
Well, you've got to be in the photo.
Well, 131060, if you are in a wheelchair, what should we do?
Or you have anything other special about you.
Yeah.
I had a friend who had three fingers, and he would always judge a person's character based on how you shook his hand.
Can you
high
three? You can high three.
No. Well, you can't.
You can high three.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you can't. If you didn't know and you went for the high five and then they put their hand up, you don't put your hand down.
No,
that's offensive.
You just go through with it, yeah.
Oh, 131060, if you've got something about you, you tell us what we should do.
Stab Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
Things you should do.
Things they should do.
Things you should do.
Do it to yourself.
Yeah, my friend who has a lazy eye asked me to take it on the air and say that if you are speaking to someone who has one, don't feel awkward. Just look at them in between their eyebrows instead of wondering which eye do I look at.
Right, rather than moving focus and being awkward.
Straight between the eyes.
They've noticed that it does make people uncomfortable. No one's ever asked where to look, so I'm spreading that message for them. And we thought on 131060, what is it about you that you would like to then tell people this is what you should do?
Absolutely. 131060 is our number. And Sian's called up about something we spoke about from Kapalabar. We're talking about getting a photo with someone in a wheelchair. Sian?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
And I was saying, I don't know if it's rude if we should squat down for a photo.
I can only speak for myself, but like I've been in a wheelchair since I was 5. I'm 27 now.
Uh-huh.
So to me, I definitely think squat down.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
We spend enough time looking at people's crotches. It's nice too.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You don't want that
in
a photo.
People at our own height.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sian, we can't do it on a case by case. I think you have to speak for all people in wheelchairs. We all squat down from now on.
I definitely think squat down. Get as close as possible. Because I think, you know, for myself, I would have body issues. So treat it as you would like a normal selfie.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Squat down.
Uh-huh.
You know, get up close.
I like that.
And then, you know, upward angle. You know,
that's what I'm saying. A normal selfie. What he's saying is the best possible angle at all cases is how we should go about it. Yeah, well done.
Okay, 131060,
if there's something about you and you want to let us know what we should do.
Laura in Waterford, what is it about you and what do we need to know about it?
I'm a type 1 diabetic and I would prefer if people ask their questions when I'm using my insulin pump or giving an insulin needle than just staring.
Right.
Good one.
Yeah.
So you would, because do people look at you thinking maybe you're taking drugs?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I know that our friend has type 1 diabetes, and they said they get sick of people saying, oh, don't you want to eat healthy to see? And it's like, well, type 1, you can be born with it.
Yeah. So that's annoying too.
Yeah, I could imagine.
So if someone sees you like in a food court or something and you're injecting, just say, hey, do you have diabetes?
Yeah, or like, what are you doing? Can you tell me about your condition? And just try and educate themselves rather than look like idiots staring at me.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough, Laura.
Good on you.
Yeah, all right.
Andrew's in Mount Cotton. What is it about you and what should we do? Hi, Andrew.
Yes, I'm profoundly deaf. I was born with a sudden hearing loss, and I wasn't diagnosed as being profoundly deaf until 5 years of age. So when people are speaking to me, sometimes they don't look at me, so it's hard for me to lip read them. And they also tend to cover their mouth or look away, which makes it difficult.
Oh, right. So you feel that they become awkward, so they do the opposite of what is required for you to chat to them.
Yes, and on top of that, some people speak even slower as well in an attempt for you to try and hear them. Yeah.
So is it because you've learnt to lip read, you need people to do it as they would normally talk?
Yes.
Can you, Andrew, can you lip read people, can you watch TV with the sound down because you can just lip read what they're saying?
Yes, I can do that, and I've got the ability to lead people in public, so that sometimes makes good conversation.
Andrew.
Yeah,
that is.
We need you, I think.
Oh,
so you can, obviously, you have cochlear implants now?
Yes, I've got two.
Yeah, how old were you when you got those?
Well, they only happened about 4 years ago, so they're quite recent.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And that's why, do people often talk to you differently as well because your speech sounds different? So that's why people slow down when they speak to you?
Yes, that's one of the reasons. I also have a lion taming dog, an assistance dog.
Oh, yeah.
So I think sometimes people think that I'm deafer than I actually am.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people should not pat your dog, correct, Andrew?
Yes. That's smart.
All right. Well, good
very
to know. Thanks
thank
for calling
much.
Through, Andrew.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks.
All right. There we go.
We've solved some of the problems of the world
some
today.
Some of them,
which
yes.
is good. They needed it.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
Anyone's ever won a house before?
Well, we say it's life-changing because we could only imagine not having to pay for rent or a mortgage. Mm. But we want to know from you. We've got Bianca from Joiner. You have a friend who won a house?
I do. Her son played in my brother's football team, and she was a foster carer, so she's always fostered children. She's a really lovely lady, and they actually won an Endeavour prize home, which was amazing. Like, it was fully furnished and everything. So, yeah. So it was nice to see, like, someone really deserving as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, owned her own home, and, yeah, really nice.
Imagine that, a display home. It's got it all perfect.
Oh, amazing. Until you took your children into it.
I heard all that, and she probably had a few. Did she moved in into it?
Yeah, she did, because it was out just out the back of Warner. So it was when they were building Warner Lakes and all that. So it was sort of out the back of Warner, Cashmere area. And, they were living in that sort of area anyway. So it worked out really well.
Lovely.
Because I've had people say, I'd sell it and take the cash. Yeah. But then you got to remember, the house will go up in value. Mm. So it costs you nothing. And then you're going to make money if you live in it for 20 years or whatever.
But you could take the cash and buy your house.
Oh,
nah,
there's many options.
But you'd think that one's brand new. Yeah. It's like Mickey Mouse.
So then you get the best price for it.
There's so many choices. You could do that.
Yeah. If you don't want to move, that's a hassle.
Kim in Kippering. Kim, sorry. Did you win a house?
No, my dad did back in the day. However, because we'd only just moved up to Queensland, and the prize pool, the terms and conditions actually specified that you need to have an appropriate level of income to be able to maintain the property. And because he couldn't prove that he had a maintainable income, they actually withdrew the prize and gave it to the second person.
No way.
What do you mean? So you had to pay for, like, stamp duty or
no,
some
you had
upkeep?
To show, because you know how you pay rates and all the other bills and stuff like that? They wanted to make sure
that, you could
that the person who won the prize could afford to maintain the property.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, my
God, Kim. You couldn't do that now. That'd be a suing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How often do you guys bring it up?
Well, it's only been a couple of times. Usually when Dad's had a couple of drinks, he's like, you know what? Back in the day when this happened, I reckon I could have done this and I should have done that and I could have done and I would have done and yes, Dad,
I reckon he remembers every month when his mortgage payment comes out of his account. It's just a little reminder. Just so you know, by the way, everyone, we don't have that rule. That.
No.
We do not have that rule with us.
Merv in Oxenford. Morning, Merv.
Yeah, good morning.
Now, you've won a house before?
Yes, I did. It would be 35 years on the 21st of December this year.
Right. And you live it? You still have it? Did you live in it? How did it change your life?
Well, it certainly changed my life. When they phoned me, I didn't believe it. It's I just hung up because I was running a travel agency back in those days, and it was the last working day for the whole of Australia, so I'm just having some drinks with my staff. Next minute, some turkey gets on the phone and rings you up and says, congratulations, you've just won... the Christmas draw. I said, congratulations. Merry Christmas to you too. I hung up.
Right. They call back straight away?
Yeah, they called back and they said, did we get cut off? I said, no, I hung up. They said, you wouldn't be the first.
Oh, wow. And so you sold it. How much did you sell it for?
Well, the brochure, I've still got the brochure and the original telegram and everything, but it's the brochure is showing $180,000. But it was, I lived in it for 3.5 years, sold it for $165,000.
Wow.
I just heard telegram and...
That was a lot of money nearly 35 years ago.
Yes, and brochure.
Yeah, the old brochure. No realestate.com back then. Yeah. Well, good on you. There you go.
Thanks
you could,
call,
could be like one of these people, except for the guy who didn't get his house. You will not be like him because we promise there's no catchers like that in our competition.
Stab Abby and Matt on Hit 105.
You know that I'm on board Audi since you told me that I should go shopping there and blah, blah, blah.
You're welcome.
Haven't got my head around always having to have a gold coin.
So
you can get a trolley.
Yeah, that's
true. You won that one.
Yes. I was like, oh, should I take a box? Do you know what I mean? Like a big box around because I forgot the trolley.
Oh, yeah, $1. You can. Yeah, all you got to do, though, is you've got to stack. If you empty the box, you've just got to stack it neatly on the shelf, and then you're sweet.
You ever done that trader thing, too? Because we've got our Aldi's next to a Coles, so sometimes you can use a Coles trolley if you don't have your dollar coin. You feel really bad.
Mm. Always.
But you know what I hate is when I don't want something from Aldi, but then it sells out and I think I should have had it. I'm talking I saw it on the weekend. They're doing those vacuum robots.
Yes.
And I was like, maybe, I don't know. Then I find out that they've sold out this morning in 10 seconds flat. And all of a sudden I decided that I needed that. So thanks. But no thanks.
You know when someone's waving to you and you go, do I know them? But they're waving and they're smiling and they're yelling, hello! And at school pickup and your kid's only been there for a few weeks and you're not sure if they're kids in your kid's class or whether you've met them or what the go is.
Nightmare.
Hello! No, they're not waving at me, but they're looking right at me. Hello! So then you wave back, hello! And then another lady walks past
and
you
go, no,
and goes,
sorry, behind you.
He goes, hi, Karen. You go, damn it. I think as a society, if there is a human in between you and the person you're saying hello to, you need to say, I'm not saying hello to you. I'm saying it to the person behind you just to kill the awkwardness.
I think people just go with the fact that they don't know you, so there's no way they could be waving
at you.
I know,
but you just feel so unpopular, don't you?
No, you're running the gauntlet of being... because if you don't wave and they're like, remember,
I know.
I'm Kim's mum, you're at my house for that
and they
birthday
say,
party.
I wasn't talking to you, and sometimes I wait, I know, I was just waving back anyway.
No, there's someone behind you, I'm waving. They're in a car, they drove.
You walk past them waving, that's the way to do it.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Social awkwardness is tough, isn't it?
Oh, it's the worst.
Like, for example, I caught a cab into work this morning. And I said to the guy, there's a very good point of reference here for if he doesn't know where the radio station is. I said, the Park Regis Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I said, next to the Park Regis Hotel, because I thought we'd get there and that'd be close enough. He pulled in to the driveway of the Park Regis Hotel and dropped me right at reception.
Mm.
I don't know why, but I didn't want to hurt the guy's feelings. So I walked into the reception like I was booking a room at 4 a.m. in the morning and stood there until he drove away so I could walk back out the 50 metres in. Meanwhile, the people at reception looked at me as if to say, can we get you a room, sir? And I had to say, I'm just actually being polite.
I'm surprised you didn't go through with it because you felt more awkward for them.
Speaking of which, do you want to have the meeting in the penthouse suite at the Park Regis Hotel? It'd be really great for me because then it would be a tax deduction. It's a lovely view.
He probably drove off and he said he was going to the radio station. What an idiot.
Thanks for that.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
On Hit 105.
There we go. Thank you so much for making it to the end of the podcast. Any feedback is welcome. Send it through via the Stav, Abby and Matt Facebook page. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.